Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
All right. Draft is getting going. I think we're, you know, just forgive me, folks. I'll be distracted for about 1 hour a year on this show, and this is that hour. So have fun listening to me. Let me do a read so I can get this out of the way. But I love this partner. I swear. I love being Bet DSI. It's celebrating 20 years as the industry's biggest and safest betting site. They have great customer service and fast, easy payment of winnings. You can play virtually every sport at BetDSI with hundreds of wagering options, including live in-game wagering on all major sporting events where you can make your play at any time during the game. BetDSI runs sign-up and deposit promotions year-round. For a limited time, using promo code FNTSY, BetDSI is offering up to $2,500 on your first deposit if you're willing to adhere to rollover requirements. So use promo code FNTSY and try BetDSI. That's BetDSI.com, promo code FNTSY. Head on over and start winning today. Man, sorry about that. I punctuated that read with a hard cough into the mic, so apologize for that. Okay, so here we go. We're doing it. I'm getting my draft set up. We got Dane Martinez, who hosts me during the week. He's communicating with me, and I'm trying to talk Giants-Jets. And what I wanted to talk about specifically related to Giants-Jets was this running back scenario, because I had Brian Costello from the New York Post on a couple of weeks ago. And he really thought that Isaiah Crowell was going to be the guy. He has 4 carries last night for 6 yards. Powell started last night, 10 carries for 24 yards. He gets a touchdown. Crowell, 2 catches for 18 yards, and Powell did not catch any passes. So it's a poor offensive line, I think you could say. But I had been counting on Crowell at value in a lot of drafts, and now I wonder if that value is slipping away.
Somewhat. I think it's going to be a lot of committee approach here. I don't know if Powell is going to be the guy all season long. I do think they've been unfair to Powell in the past, where they've sort of forgotten about him. This guy is a legitimate, solid running back. He's nothing spectacular. He's probably not a guy you want running between the tackles all the time, but he can do it from enough to be evaluated. What I'm trying to say is he's more than just a pass catcher out of the backfield there. Now, my issue might be, it does look like all signs are pointing that Sam Darnold is going to be the starter from week one. And I do think he's going to have, right, I think it's safe to say, at least I think it's going to happen. I do think he's going to have some ups and some downs. A lot's going to be asked of the running game, which generally, defense is going to say, hey, let's find out what this kid can do, which means we're going to stop the running game. You know, we're going to stop Powell, we'll stop Crowell, we'll stop anybody who's back there, and see if Darnold can get the ball down the field. First game's at Detroit, not the easiest place to play. You know, second game's Miami, a little easier, and then they got Cleveland-Jacksonville. Cleveland, damn good defense. Jacksonville, damn good defense. Then they play Denver, damn good defense. So it's not the easiest start for Sam Darnold. You know, 3 of those 5 games are on the road. So,
do you watch Hard Knocks, by the way?
No. I don't even have HBO. And tell you, even if I did, I wouldn't watch Hard Knocks. Although I've heard a lot of
things.
Because
you said something
about
the defense, and I think Greg Williams might be the most unlikable coach of all time. Their defensive coordinator.
I think that may be pretty accurate as far as that's going. I think Buddy Ryan might be up there, too, at one point. I don't think life's going to be easy for the Jets. I think they're doing the right thing, mind you, with Sam Darnold. I think he's ready to play. You put him in there. It's what I believe with all rookie quarterbacks. When you're a rookie quarterback and you're on a team that's not expected to compete for a playoff spot, which the Jets aren't, as soon as the rookie's ready to play, he plays. You know, let's get all the kinks out in year one. It's where year two is when we really start to build our team here. So I like what the Jets have done. I do. but I'm not going to be big on any of their players. You know, I'm not thrilled about the schedule. I think it's tougher. It gets easier in the second half, mind you, but that first half is going to be brutal here. Powell, I would take as a running back, PPR, running back three, running back four, in that range. Crowell, I did like Crowell 1 point
there.
More.
Because he's at 57. He's at 57 ADP. Crowell's at 37 ADP. And keep in mind, I'm giving all these ADPs. I printed all this stuff out last night. So right before the games last night. And I do think we've talked about a bunch of players, which I'm telling you, Bilal Powell's ADP. I would also tell you that if you draft at starting at noon today, like I'm about to start a draft in a few minutes. I may have mentioned that already. So,
really? What league?
Yeah. It's called the Grocery
Show. Do you have a good pick?
Anyway, I do, third. So,
David Johnson.
Maybe not. Maybe not. We'll see. We'll see what Corey does it too. But I'm telling you that these ADPs may not be reflective of what people do because there's always going to be people in a draft that just takes one to overreact. It took one NFL team to draft Tim Tebow in the first round, right? It just takes one fantasy owner to draft somebody a little early and you'd be like, hey, blew it. What's up? You said Powell at 57, that he'd go in somewhere in like the 10th round. Well, I'm telling you, that's not going to be the case.
When it comes to ADPs, now generally, depending on what site you use, you can do a range, a date range. You don't want an ADP from May on, because really in May we didn't know what was going on. Yeah, you really want an ADP within the last 2 weeks, and even that's going to change because 2 weeks ago we didn't know so much about Barber that he was going to take that job over from Ronald Jones.
And Rashad Penny put on 19 pounds,
right. Chris Carson, we didn't know that. That's why ADPs are constantly changing. They're a tool like any other, a guideline. They're not the Bible. You know, the be-all to end-all. You got to be very careful here with what you do. Because like I said, when I use ADPs on a draft, generally I want, in a perfect world, maybe a week. And it depends how many ADPs. So many sites will actually tell you how many drafts they're using here. 1,000 drafts within the past 7 days. That'll give you a pretty good idea. But some will say, we only got 50 drafts in the past 7 days. Not as good, because then you're getting what you're talking about. You get a couple of guys there who are just screwing around these mocks. That's going to throw the ADPs off. You want a lot of as many leagues as you possibly can get in a short period of time to get an accurate, a fairly accurate idea of where players are going. Obviously, for the you want to make sure if you're in a 10-team league, it's a 10-team ADP, 12-team ADP, and all that other stuff here. You know, make sure your league settings are correct. 2-quarterback league. You know, you have to consider that as well. If it's not, then quarterbacks can sometimes in ADPs they'll be a little lower than they should because. Superflex leagues and core 2-quarterback leagues, where quarterbacks will go earlier, are becoming a little bit more prevalent, which I'm happy to say because that's my favorite type of league.
So there you go. So that's it on the running back position there. You did mention Darnold. Teddy Bridgewater still playing well, too, though. He came in after Darnold was out. He played, I think, the end of the first half and then the rest of the second half. I think that's the way they broke it down with Bridgewater, 11 for 15 for 104. Darnold, 8 of 16 for 86 and a touchdown. While Teddy's played well, I think the decision's been made now. I think they just needed to see if Darnold could do it, and I think he's done it. And it doesn't mean he's going to light up the league, but I think he's done it. To your point, I'm just sort of mirroring what you said earlier, but Teddy Bridgewater's the most talked about backup in the league right now. Or guy, at least in a quarterback battle, because he does have value for teams that are vying for playoffs. Like the Saints probably don't want to go into the season with Tom Savage, and maybe the Broncos don't want to go in there with just Case Keenum. But I think Teddy's a backup for now. Could things go south for Darnold and they bench him? Maybe. But I just don't think he's the type of guy that's going to freak out, and I think he'll be adequate enough to be in there for the year.
Well, as far as Teddy Bridgewater is concerned, if they were going on merit, he does deserve to start. He's had a better preseason. But still, I think it makes all the sense. I say it again. You draft your quarterback on the third overall pick. Once you think he's ready to play, you play him. Especially in a year you're not going anywhere. You know, the Jets are doing, once again, the fantasy league trade. Oh, they want a monster deal for Teddy Bridgewater. That's pretty much where they came out this week and said it. You know, and when I say by fantasy leagues, it's the same thing. They want a deal they know they're going to win. So he's not going anywhere. Yeah, no one's going to trade for him as a backup. The Jets want a Sam Bradford deal. You know, first round, that's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. So I think Teddy Bridgewater stays there until an injury happens. You know, until Drew Brees gets hurt or someone like that, where they don't have a backup. Now they have to make the Sam Bradford deal. I think that's what the Jets are hoping for. Maybe it works out. Maybe it doesn't. You know, which is all fine and good. Because the Jets are sort of rolling with dice here. You know, I guess they're sort of thinking, well, if we trade him now, we can get, let's just say for giggles here, then get a fifth-round pick. Well, that's nice. But, you know, if we can hold on to him, you know, maybe an Aaron Rodgers breaks his collarbone again. You know, all of a sudden now we may be able to get a second-round pick. Maybe even be able to get better than that if we can trade him to a team like that that doesn't have a good backup. When I say Aaron Rodgers, I don't necessarily mean Green Bay. I'm just using an example of a team that last year didn't have a quality backup and a promising season went down with tubes. You know,
yeah,
Drew Brees,
like
a perfect
Minnesota,
example.
Minnesota just spent $1 billion on Kirk Cousins, but Trevor Siemian's the backup. There's a reason he's a backup now. He showed that he can't really be a starter in the league, or couldn't on Denver at least. And I think maybe, you know, what if I don't mean to keep picking on Minnesota, but it is now a similar situation where they would need somebody to help get them to the playoffs. It'd be ironic if it was back there, but it probably won't be. The Saints have a lot on the line. Drew Brees is 40. Tom Savage isn't the guy. So that could be a landing spot.
It could be. But like I said, I don't think he gets traded to anybody now as a backup because the Jets want too much. No one's giving that up. I think it's going to be a situation where if someone gets hurt, well, even that's unlikely because week three is just about over. No, I doubt there are very, very many starting quarterbacks starting next week. So unless something happens tonight or tomorrow.
You just jinxed,
I think you're going,
Drew Brees so hard right now.
Are they playing tonight?
You did it. Yep, you did it. You did it. That's it. It's over.
That's good. I don't have Drew Brees in any league.
We're going to be on
so
here
you
tomorrow.
And I tomorrow morning. We'll be talking about Teddy Bridgewater going to the Saints. That's great. Actually, unless that situation were to happen, though, where a top quarterback goes down tonight, tomorrow, you're looking at early in the season. You know, the Aaron Rodgers type of injury where a top quarterback goes down, team doesn't have an adequate backup, then the Jets may be able to get what they want here. But I don't think, as of right now, things can always change, of course, because Teddy, he's not owed any guaranteed money until week one. And it's not a salary the Jets can't afford. It's not like they have to move him. They do not. So they can hold on to Bridgewater going into the season. They'd be fine with that. I think they'll wait to see if a quarterback goes down. Maybe we'll end up talking about this more at the trade deadline. Where, okay, no quarterback went down. Now we do have to trade him for that, you know, fifth-round pick, sixth-round pick, whatever it might be, just to get some value with form. Or maybe the Jets figure, you know what? We're not going to have McCown back next season.
Yep.
Not the worst idea to keep Bridgewater around if we can re-sign him. But I would think Teddy Bridgewater was also thinking, listen, I'm not starting here. They got Darnold. I want to compete for a starting job. I'm leaving either way. I think Bridgewater
gets a couple of jobs to be open.
Yeah, I think Bridgewater gets dealt eventually. It's just a matter of now, if someone gets hurt, or by the trade deadline for whatever the Jets can get.
Think of all three Florida teams, what their quarterback situations are. Think of that. All three could be in flux for next year. Could be.
Yeah, you're right. I was going through it.
Tanny, Jameis, and Bortles.
You're absolutely right. He could compete for any of those jobs. The only thing is, you know, Teddy really hasn't done anything in the NFL. He's having a very good preseason, but he's never done anything in the NFL.
I agree.
To say that.
But he's the type of guy that could get a second act. He's the type of guy that could get a second act. I think he will get it. I think I read something the other day. He's a month old. That's it. I checked it. He's like a month older than Carson Wentz. So perception sometimes isn't reality. I think there's a perception of like, Wentz is an up-and-comer, and, you know, he'll come back from this knee injury, no problem. Teddy Bridgewater's injury was far more serious. I think anybody would agree with that, and the doctor's reports and story on ESPN earlier this week would confirm that. But nonetheless, they're the same age. You know, Carson Wentz came into the league as an older player. Teddy came in a little bit younger, played a couple of years, suffered a devastating knee injury, and now he's back. So his second act, maybe it's on par with Carson Wentz. Who knows? So I do think he gets the shot, and any of those three Florida teams, and there could be other teams. New Orleans could be a team. Who knows? Maybe Drew Brees could retire. Like, there's a lot going on. I've tried to map this all throughout, and I've been mapping, like, the QB snapshot of the league for – I mean, gosh, the entirety of the year, because I always think it's interesting to look ahead when we're talking about the number of QBs. But we've talked about some guys this morning that one is, you know, Jameis, and that is conceivably up in the air. And then we also look at guys like Derek Carr, like they're owing him a lot of money. But in 2 years, if Carr doesn't really play up to expectations or he played poorly this year, like the Raiders might have to look at somebody else, too. I don't necessarily think that he's going to fall apart, but I think they realistically have to look at other options beyond this year, say if he didn't play well. Andy Dalton could be out in Cincinnati because they're done with him after this year. They can get out on the money, just like Miami can. Baltimore obviously has a succession plan in place, but there are a lot more landing spots for Teddy Bridgewater a year from now than people may think there are right now. I just named five teams off the top of my head, and I haven't even dug into it.
Oh, yeah, there are a few more. I agree. I think Dan Graziano of ESPN did the same thing you were doing, that you just did. For each NFL team, like in 2020 offhand, I think it was on ESPN, the magazine last year, and it was a fun read. Because people will always say, well, he's got a six-year contract. Listen, the length of the contract means nothing. It's guaranteed money. When does the guaranteed money run out? This is not baseball. Once that guaranteed money comes, he could have a six-year deal, but if the guaranteed money runs out after 3 years, then he has a three-year contract. Because after that, either the player's going to want to renegotiate or the team's going to release him. That's generally the way these things work. So that's always what I look at. When is the guaranteed money run out?
I'll fire off the teams for you right now where there could be a change for next year. Cincinnati, Tampa. I'm not going to say the Chargers, but Phil Rivers is a year older. Tannehill in Miami. The Giants. The Jaguars. The Saints, because Breeze is 40, and Flacco, there's a succession plan in place. Roethlisberger is a year older. That's like eight teams I just named. All of those guys could change.
Denver, with Keenum.
Yeah, they don't owe him that much more money after this year. So lots more landing spots. And obviously, we have a crop of rookies coming in, but they can't necessarily start right away. At least Teddy could get a Mike Glennon deal and be somewhere for next year. So we'll come back. We'll talk more Jets and Giants after the break.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Throwback song here, Sean Engel producing. My draft getting started in a couple of minutes here. Fantasy Factor is the only exclusively single-entry DFS site. They have free rolls, registering all the time, and great promotions for free prizes. Keep a lookout for Fantasy Factor's free $1 million Survivor contest opening about a week before NFL kickoff. Go to fantasyfactor.com. That's fantasyfactor.com. So thanks for listening on the Fantasy Sports Radio app, on TuneIn, on iHeartRadio. And if you've chimed in on Twitter, it's been a little tough for me to keep track of today, but thank you. At FNTSY Radio, at Mike Blewett, at George Kurtz. I know our loyal listener, Steve G, has been Jim Cardio and the Roto Experts. So one other team to talk about from games last night. I got a couple more topics for the rest of the hour as we then go to the top of the hour. That is Bogman and the Welsh in this league, and then George and Joe Galina from 3 to 6 on Weekend Fantasy Update. So keep us tuned in all day today. So there's not a lot of mystery with some of the Giants' skill players. You got Odell Beckham, he's the number one wideout. You got Saquon Barkley, he's the number one running back. You got Evan Ingram, he's the number one tight end. He did suffer a concussion last night. Don't know, haven't seen any of the updates on that. Saw that late last night. I have not been buying in on Evan Ingram. I doubt I will, especially now. I will avoid him in both drafts this next weekend because I don't know what the story is with the tight end situation, with the concussion situation, nor was I in love with his ADP in the first place. I don't reach for tight ends like that typically. And Evan Ingram is going in a spot where I don't like him at all. Fifth and a half round. I've said it many times before, this position tends to be a mess. So I'm going to wait back a little bit and take guys at value like George Kittle and Jack Doyle and even, maybe somebody like O.J. Howard. As much as I don't love that offense, I think it'd see him rearing his head during the season. I would like to talk about Chris Godwin at one point too, if we can get to him, but I'll just make that part of the list. But in terms of the G-men, George, one guy that hasn't really been talked about as much is Sterling Shepard, because some of the other guys are pulling publicity away from him. But Sterling Shepard, he goes 7-for-78 last night. Yes, it's a preseason game, but it wouldn't shock me if I saw a couple of games like that from him throughout the season. So Sterling Shepard currently going in PPR leagues. Let me see where he's at. Shepard, 43rd. That makes him your wide receiver four conversation, and I like him at that ADP.
So do I. I like this Giant offense. My only worry about the Giant offense is, well, it's twofold. One, can Eli Manning not feel the rush, not see the rush anymore? I think the last couple of years, because of how poor the offensive line has been, he's gotten up there in age, been hit a whole bunch throughout his career. He's starting to see the rush now. And throwing up his back foot, not stepping at the throws as much. Can he get past that? Can he get by that? You know, because he got Beckham, you got Shepard, you got Ingram, you got Barkley. The offensive line is better. It's not perfect, by any means not perfect, but it's better. Right? You got Nate Solder at left tackle. You got Will Hernandez that you drafted. All right? And Will Hernandez is a nasty human being, which is just what you want in an offensive lineman. Now, granted, they have five new starters, so that's why it's still a work in progress here, but it's better. So can Eli Manning, like I said, not see that? Second thing is, are there enough balls to go around? Barkley's going to get his. All right, they drafted him for a reason. They passed on drafting a possible franchise quarterback, which I think is a huge mistake. And if Sam Darnold ends up being the man for the Jets, this is not good for the Giants, because Sam Darnold could have taken them into another 10 years. But that being said, you got Barkley who's going to get his. We know Beckham's going to get his. So now, are there enough balls to go around for Shepard and Ingram? I like both guys. I really do. You know, I wouldn't mind drafting either one. I don't mind having Ingram as my tight end one. I don't mind having Shepard as my wide receiver four, as where you said he's going. But are there enough balls to go around for both of these guys? This is not going to be a Giant team that wants to throw the ball up and down the field. They drafted Barkley for a reason, to not have to do that, to protect
and
Eli.
And signed a left tackle for a lot of money and drafted Will Hernandez at guard. So they rebuilt the left side of the line with, I think, two good additions. Even if Solder won't be around for long, he's a good addition right now. Hernandez, everybody loves, and I do think that really helps. The right side of the line, problems. But they at least addressed two of the positions that they needed to on the offensive line.
Yeah, so I said I just don't know if there'll be enough throws to go around for those guys to make them truly valuable. Is one going to be the red zone guy? Is that what Ingram's going to be? You know, it just makes me wonder. Like I said, I like both. I like the talent of both. Just don't know if this Giant offense, this is not the Green Bay Packers offense. You know, there's going to be plenty of balls to go around to the Patriots. It's the Giants. You know, there's a reason they've done what they've done. You know, I'm not saying they want to become the Cowboys who, you know, run. That's, of course, not going to happen. But they're closer to that mold than people may think. That's why Barkley's there. Protect the defense. Eat time off that clock. Run. So I'm curious to see how this is going to work out here. That being said, I'll take Ingram as my tight end one. You know, I'm not drafting him before round five. I don't draft any tight end there. 6, 7, 8 is really where I'll look here. In the drafts I've been in recently, tight ends are falling. You know, people are starting to wait on tight ends again. And as far as Shepard, he's with other guys. Wide receiver four. Once again, he took around that round 7, round 8, 9 range, somewhere there. He's a guy if I get, great. If I don't, I'm okay with it. I'm not dying to get him. There are wide receivers deep. There are plenty of other guys just like him that you can grab.
But given what we're talking about, Eli at 22, I understand your concern about the number of balls going around, but Eli at 22 seems still low. I think this offense could be pretty good. And Eli's just a little too low. So in your two QB leagues, I think I want Eli over the guys right in front of him. Derek Carr, Jameis Winston, Dak Prescott. I could make the bump up to Eli to go right behind Alex Smith or Marcus Mariota. That makes sense to you?
I have Eli at 19. And it's funny. I have him ahead of Carr, Prescott, and Winston. Just ahead. I have him behind Mariota. So once again, you and I are exactly in lock, step, and barrel here. I think this is where he belongs. I think Eli has some upside here. Because what if that defense is bad for the Giants and he does have to throw more often? You know, all of a sudden there's a lot of – because the weapons are there. The weapons are certainly there. So, yes, in two quarterback leagues, I have no problem with Eli Manning. It's funny. The only league I have him in, though, is one of the few leagues I'm playing in that's not a two-quarterback league. That's a league where I guess I didn't talk to you about it, but that's the RotoWire league. I drafted with the RotoWire guys, and I got burned. I like to wait on a quarterback, like to wait a long time on quarterbacks. And when my pick came in the 10th round, I had the 5th pick, there were only, I think it was me and Chris Liss. We were the only two guys that didn't have a quarterback. And I'm like, you know what? There were three or four quarterbacks. Ben Roethlisberger was there, Rivers, Mariota. I'm like, I can wait. No reason for me to take quarterback. I went 5, Chris went 6. He was thinking the same way I was. He didn't take a quarterback then either. It ended up being, before it came back around to us, so many teams took backup quarterbacks. Couldn't believe it. Guess what? This is an expert league.
That's
industry league.
An expert league, yeah.
Yeah, shocked. Shocked that the amount of quarterbacks that now went. I'm talking about at least a half a dozen quarterbacks went before Chris Liss picked again in round 11. And unfortunately for me, there was one quarterback left that I liked, you know, and it was Matt Ryan. And this was a live draft doing with all the guys, and you know, we're doing it by the stickers. So I'm looking at Chris. He doesn't say his pick, but he's looking. He's the one putting the stickers up, and I see him going deep into the sticker. I'm like, oh, crap. Matt Ryan was the only person left that I really wanted. And I'm like, damn it, he's going for the R's. I can see it because he keeps looking. Sure enough, he takes Matt Ryan. So I end up taking Alex Smith, the next pick. And this draft was done in mid-July, by the way, before Geis got hurt. So I took Alex Smith, and I backed myself up with Eli Manning a few rounds later because I do like his upside. That was the moral of the story here, that I do like Eli Manning.
Last thing on the Giants, can you list these guys in terms of the number of targets you think they'll receive and include the two wideouts, Ingram and Barkley, because those are the clear top four?
Well, we know Beckham's going to get an overload of targets, all right? He is that kind of game player for them. He's the man you want there. I think when it comes to Ingram and Shepard, I really think it's about even. I'm not worried about targets for those guys. Which one's the end zone guy? And I think that's Ingram. That's why if I had a choice between, you're not going to, but if I can only grab one, or I only want to get one Giant, and I wasn't able to get Beckham, or Barkley is the 5th overall pick, whatever it might be, I want Ingram because he's the guy I expect to be the end zone guy. And I think, once again, I'll take... rather than 5 targets between the 20s, I'll take 1 target in the red zone, in the end zone. I think that's what Ingram's going to be. I think he's going to be that big target that Eli is going to look for there.
But you think Barkley is then 4th? Because I worry if he gets, like, not McCaffrey-like targets, but he gets up there in the 80-90 target range.
I think he probably will. I think Barkley's their be-all to end-all there. I think that's why they drafted him. They want to use him. You know, protect Eli. You know, don't take those hits. Dump it off to Barkley. So unless Barkley ends up being a very good blocker, in which case they're going to stay in. That's what happens with Ezekiel Elliott with the Cowboys. Elliott is so good at blocking, they keep him in. That's why he doesn't catch as many balls here. So, but I think Barkley's, either way, it doesn't matter. You're taking Barkley as, what, the 5th running back off the board. It doesn't matter how many targets he gets.
So I'll give you an update on my draft, and the hard part is I can't follow along. So I'm basically screwed. But here's how it went. Let's go by round. See if I can scroll down here.
Did it just start? It goes, I mean, how hard did it go here?
Yeah, it went fast. Le'Veon Bell, Zeke Elliott, Todd Gurley, David. I took Zeke Elliott.
So you got a gift.
I got Zeke Elliott. No, what did I say? Did I say it backwards? No, sorry.
Oh, yeah,
Gurley, Bell, Zeke Elliott, okay. David Johnson.
All right.
Then 4th is Antonio Brown. Then Saquon Barkley went 6. Sorry, Antonio Brown 5, Saquon Barkley 6. Alvin Kamara goes 7th to Dane Martinez. Where's Alvin Kamara? There we go. DeAndre Hopkins goes next at 8. Melvin Gordon goes 9th. Then we got Leonard Fournette at 10. Kareem Hunt goes 11th. Michael Thomas goes 12th. 13 is Christian McCaffrey. Whoever they got, Jimbo Slice is this guy's name. He's got a Michael Thomas, Christian McCaffrey turn that I really like a lot. Odell Beckham goes there at 14. Then next is Julio Jones. And let me scroll back up here. How do I do this?
So it's pretty much – it's gone according to plan here. There aren't too many – I don't think any that I would make fun of. I mean, Hunt falling to 11 is somewhat, but I get it. A lot of good running backs there. People are a little down on Hunt, though, with the offense. And I think they worry that KC's defense is so bad that KC's not going to be able to run the ball in the second half. But I don't see anything –
Yeah.
I don't see anything there that's out of whack.
Dalvin Cook went – And then Freeman.
Freeman worries me. You know, not that that's a bad pick. It's not. But Freeman worries me because now if I take Freeman, I have to get Tevin Coleman. I mean, so I'm going to take probably look at Tevin. This is a 12-team league?
12.
Yeah, I'm probably taking Tevin Coleman now in round 7 to protect myself. I want to make sure I have one starting running back. Freeman, I can't see him playing 16 games, not with that concussion history. He's had so many of them. And I worry about the next one he gets. We'll keep him out for 6 weeks. You just don't know what concussions. It worries me
okay,
a
George,
whole
we're
lot.
Doing it. Me and you are doing it right here. Devontae Adams, A.J. Green, Joe Mixon, Mike Evans, Jerick McKinnon,
Adams.
Rob Gronkowski.
I was just going to ask, if Adams falls for you, you grab him.
Okay.
There's nobody even close to that. I would take Adams over Green.
Wait, Howard and Mixon gone? Howard and Mixon?
Surprised Mixon is gone before Adams. Well, once again, running backs, people, heartbeat, got to take one. If Adams is available from the guys you just named, it's an easy choice for me.
Shoot.
I love Devontae
Adams. This is wrong. He just went, Dane misinformed me. So he was gone. And then Howard and Mixon. 17, 18, 19. Okay, so there we go. All right. So now it is A.J. Green, Mike Evans, Jerick McKinnon, Rob Gronkowski, T.Y. Hilton, Adam Thielen, Doug Baldwin. I'm giving you both running backs, and
you probably have to take A.J. Green. You're in the same situation I was in one of my leagues, by the way. Adams did, in that league, went about 4 picks ahead of me, and Green was still there when I went in the late second round. I think it might have been 1 pick later than you. I took A.J. Green. Evans, I think he's a very good receiver. I don't know if I want to deal with him with Fitzpatrick's first 3 games. And we don't know what Winston will be. McKinnon's a no. I'm not big on McKinnon at all. Gronk, I'm not taking a tight end early. I'll take an A.J. Green, Ezekiel Elliott start.
Got him. So that's it. That's the guys that I got. I would have taken Mixon or Howard had they fallen to me there.
I would have taken Howard.
Yeah, the thing is, I've been looking at Joe Mixon's numbers. There's a really good reason to believe that the offensive line got a little better. There's a really good reason to believe that there's a nice uptick for Joe Mixon, and that he could
Mixon.
He could see about 300 touches.
Mixon's not the problem. I like Joe Mixon. I don't like, you know, how Marvin Lewis treated him last year made no sense to me. You know, benching him, starting a hill above him, whatever. The offensive line, I know you write the offensive line. Do you still write that for us? Did you write that this
struggle,
year?
It was a struggle this year. Yeah. I didn't get it in this year, so unfortunately.
It's better, but it's not monumentally better. I don't trust Andy Dalton. I think this team's going to be trailing some games, so they're going to have to throw more. So Howard, I would have taken if he was there. I would have taken. I would have gone running back. But I wouldn't have trusted Joe Mixon there. And you go again, and what about 6 more picks?
We'll find T.Y. Hilton just went at 23 behind my A.J. Green. So I'm going to have a couple. There's like 3 picks for me right now. T.Y. Hilton. Just Corey Parson, the fantasy executive, just took him. So I still got Mike Evans, Jerick McKinnon. I'm out of McKinnon. If Gronk is there, I'm doing it.
That's what I'm thinking. If Gronk is, I think the guy in return, 24-1, I think he takes Gronk. That's what I would do if I'm him.
Oh, the turn went Rodgers and Gronk.
That's a nice combo right there. Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah. Somebody went QB early.
Wow. End of the second round?
Yeah.
That's
last
nuts.
Pick of the second round. Gronkowski.
Would have never done that.
I think I'm taking Adam Thielen here. I think that's going to be my guy. And I'm going to have to wait on RBs. RBs flew off the board. The only other guy here is Derrick Henry, LeSean McCoy. No thanks. I'm going to take Adam Thielen here. I'm going to load up on catches. What do you think? Doug Ball, you want me to
take
Travis Kelce?
No, I wouldn't take a tight end. No, Gronk I would have thought about. No, I'm not taking Kelce or Ertz here.
Corey took Stephon Diggs. So I'm just rip him off again. Mike Evans. Jerick McKinnon, Adam Thielen, Doug Baldwin, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, LeSean McCoy, Kenyon Drake, Amari Cooper, Larry Fitzgerald, Derrick Henry. I'm taking Adam.
You know, a running back here. I really like. I wouldn't take him here either, but he's not going to be around for you when you go in the fourth round. It's Royce Freeman. Love what he's doing in Denver. I think he's going to be a very good back this year. Fantasy owners out there, I think he's someone you want to target. But I'm probably not taking him 27th overall. But
yeah,
he won't
Adam
be around
Thielen
when
there.
You go again.
That's okay. Yeah,
I don't blame you.
It looks like I've got some draft capital in Adam Thielen this year. So there we go. My draft is off and running. This is kind of fun, but it's a little hard to track. So we'll come back. We'll talk more about my draft. I also want to talk Ty Montgomery's injury and the Green Bay running backs, as well as Amari Cooper. We didn't talk about him earlier. Maybe Chris Godwin. George and I closing it out right after this.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator, plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
DMV on a Saturday morning. Crazy how you I'm doing a live draft on air. Make it all good times. George helped me out, talking through the picks. Mike Evans just went 30. Doug Baldwin 31. To Dane Spit Statisticians Martinez. I don't know how. You would think after doing this for 25 years or so, that I would know how to make my way around every single draft room setup. But there's always a curveball, George. Always a curveball. Like, oh, no, we're going to scroll it the opposite way from the way you want. Alvin Kamara, Joe Mixon, Doug Baldwin. That's Dean Martinez's team. For those of you that have been listening, you'll know that my team is awesome, obviously. I started with Zeke Elliott at 3. A.J. Green went at 22, and then Adam Thielen on that turn. I guess that's 25. So
it's the best team ever.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, why? The other guys should just stop drafting now.
So weapons. Give you the money now.
The trophy to me. So what else? We saw Mike Evans went. Doug Baldwin went. Tyreek Hill went. Travis Kelce is now going here at the end of round 3. That's actually a little bit of value for that guy. How about that?
LeSean McCoy, I don't think it's value at all. It's about where he goes in every draft. No, Ertz will go shortly after now.
Yeah. I love Zach Ertz as a player, but, man, he's getting drafted way too high for me. But Kelce could see – I mean, Kelce led the tight ends and targets last year. So I could see that happening again. Where are we now? I'm at – oh, Larry Fitzgerald, my favorite, my ace, he went. So let's talk, since I might have a chance to draft one of these guys, let's talk Washington wide receivers first. Jamison Crowder, Josh Doctson, that crew. What's your thoughts on these guys? I like Crowder. I like where he's been going.
Well, I like Crowder as well. And I seem to keep getting him in every league. You know, this guy is always there late. I'm talking late 9-10. He's just there. So I grab him. There's some upside there. We know what the loss of Geis hurts Alex Smith because he needs a strong running game. I know Adrian Peterson looked great yesterday. You know, maybe that translates over. Maybe it doesn't. You know, but he needs that. Because if they need him to throw the ball, you know, 40 times a game, that's not going to work out well. They need a strong tight end there, which technically they have in Jordan Reed. Can he stay healthy? We know, once again, that's another oxymoron. We know he can't. You know, he'll get hurt, it's a matter of when. But they still got Vernon Davis for when he's not there. So that should work out well. And Smith and Davis obviously have a pass with the 49ers. So you think that should work out well. Deep threat, that seems to be Doctson. When he could stay on the field, he's always seems to be banged up as well. So Crowder's really the only guy I truly like there. And Doctson, once again, he's late. I'll take a shot at him. He's not around 14 guys. He's name value, so he'll go earlier than that. But Crowder is pretty much the only guy I'll take in that passing offense there, Mike, because I can get him around 10-ish or so. I'll take him as a reserve wide receiver guy. I can plug in when I need him. There's a lot of upside there. If Alex Smith and Crowder have chemistry together, 80 catches wouldn't shock me.
So your point earlier about Royce Freeman being gone, you were right. So I want to make a give George some credit here too. He made a point earlier about making sure that when you're doing your ADP homework, that you make sure that you do the proper ranges and make sure that it's a more recently done one. I think you'll see a lot of movement on somebody like Jamison Crowder if you take a mock draft snapshot of the last 6 months and you take one from the last 2 weeks. You'll see a difference, and Jamison Crowder will be higher up on draft boards than you might anticipate. Right now, he's going to the 71st player off the board overall. So that's pretty quick. I mean, in a 12-team league, you're looking at his 6.5th round. You're getting him in the 7th round. So you got to be mindful of that. Some quarterbacks going off the board here. As I continue to do my homework as this draft goes, Royce Freeman goes there. He went behind Travis Kelce. He also went behind Amari Cooper. And then what goes on from there, as I see Jarvis Landry went, he's always one of my favorites, and he is not going to be mine in this draft. Deshaun Watson went. I'm not even really taking inventory of the quarterbacks. Derrick Henry, damn it. That was the guy I was hoping for. I didn't expect to get him, but I was hoping for, because I sure as hell am not going to draft Kenyon Drake. That guy's ADP, to me, might be the most out of whack of anybody in the top 50.
You don't have to convince me. I'm not big on Drake either. He's not someone I want on my teams. Frank Gore's there. Bob Ballage might end up, if he plays better, could take up some goal line touches. I think that team is a disaster, first of all. And they got to throw the ball more in the second half anyway. You're looking at Marshawn Lynch, if you believe, Alex Collins, a guy who's got a lot of a lot of cooks in the kitchen there.
Collins, you just jinxed me. That was my guy. That was the guy I really wanted as I was going to get it back. Here in the, I don't know, in the late 40s, Demaryius Thomas went just now. So there he goes. I'm staring down the barrel of my ace, Golden Tate. He's going to be there. But I really need a running back.
Marshawn Lynch or bust right about, it's either Lynch or Ajayi.
Ajayi? Are you kidding me? I honestly, he won't be on any of my teams. Him and Kenyon Drake.
There's not much left here. I mean, there is not much left at all. I do like Tariq Cohen, but you don't have to take him here. You should be able to get him at least another round. But I think Cohen's going to be a weapon this season as well. Unless you want to believe in someone like Kerryon Johnson, he's going to end up winning that job outright in Detroit. Yeah. This is why. Now you know why running backs are going so early, boys and girls.
Yeah. This is a live example of it. Like, of the three running backs that are left, the next three, according to their ADP, they are Jay Ajayi, Rashad Penny, and Kenyon Drake. And I don't want any of them. So I think what's going to happen here, Alex Collins went 41 overall, Demaryius Thomas at 40. I'm going to be looking at Brandon Cooks, Josh Gordon, Golden Tate, Allen Robinson, Juju Smith-Schuster, Zach Ertz. Too early for Ertz for me in the 4th round. So that's kind of where we're at. All right, so you said your piece on the Washington wide receivers. Doxson is going 123rd. Overall, so you can do your math on that one. 11th round, Amari Cooper. Obviously, people still have some respect for him. The guy just went in the 3rd round of this draft. But your thoughts about him versus Jordy. Jordy's going to have to be, or Martavis Bryant, but I'm not holding my breath on that. Jordy's going to have to be good to help Amari out. True?
Of course. You know, and if Martavis Bryant plays, they could be a deep threat. That helps as well. Safety over the top has to watch for Bryant. Jordy is supposed to be in the slot. Listen, Gruden's pass tells us that he's going to have a true wide receiver one. That's what he does. You know, he pretty much beats one guy to death, and that'll be Cooper. That's why he's going so high here, because the volume will be there. So I have no problem with Cooper. I've got him in a league or two also. As for Nelson, you know, his last season with Green Bay, Mike, a lot of his value came from Aaron Rodgers scrambling outside the pocket, finding him in the end zone. He has scored so many touchdowns, it seems, because of that. That Rodgers would just, he'd sit back there forever, make time, find time, and find Jordy Nelson in the end zone. I don't know if that's going to be the same thing with Derek Carr. Plus, he's playing a new position. He's playing out of the slot. Could be a learning curve there. That being said, with Cooper and if Bryant plays on the outside, not like he's going to have a whole lot of defensive coverage over the middle. He's not, because teams are going to, like I said, safety's going to be over the top, taking away Cooper, taking away with Tavis Bryant. So there's opportunity there for him. That being said, you can get him for a song in round 9, round 10. And I'll take a shot at him. I don't mind him then. So that's generally a flex or a reserve play there, and that's fine for Jordy Nelson.
The Amari Cooper discussion, though, where is he? Yeah, he's right around guys like Stephon Diggs, Larry Fitzgerald, Juju Smith-Schuster, Doug Baldwin, Tyreek Hill. You have Amari in front or behind any of those guys?
I'm not a big Hill believer. You know, once a new quarterback, you don't know what's going to happen, what the chemistry is. What's the stat on Hill? His last 13 touchdowns, all from 30 yards or more. He's a big play guy. If you can't make those plays, you know, that could be something that could be an issue. So I have a problem with him just relying on him week in and week out. Plus, Watkins is there, runs the same kind of patterns he does. I know they're trying to make Watkins into a more all-around receiver, but has he caught like one pass from home so far in preseason? I'm worried about this KC offense, so I'm not truly a Hill believer there. Cooper, the only negative about it, he drops a lot of passes. We know that. The Raiders, especially if Mac doesn't sign, they're going to be trailing a lot of games. They're going to have to throw that football a lot.
All right, George, I'm up. Golden Tate and Juju Smith-Schuster just went. Super depressed about that.
Man, you're getting screwed.
I wanted one of those guys. So here we are. We're back staring Josh Gordon in the face with Brandon Cooks, J.J., Rashad Penny, Kenyon Drake. I think I said my piece on them. Mark Ingram still there. Deion Lewis. Marvin Jones still there. Alshon Jeffrey, Sony Michel, Ronald Jones, Corey Davis, Lamar Miller. These running backs are terrible for my number two running back. But I could reach. I could take a wide receiver now and reach on Tevin Coleman in the next round. So what do you think?
I wouldn't even
Brandon
be
Cooks.
Coleman will still be there.
Brandon Cooks, Josh Gordon, Deion
did
Lewis,
name somebody
Marvin
I liked.
Jones.
No, that was the one. I'd probably go Marvin Jones if you're going to wide receiver. Is Marshawn Lynch there? What did he go to?
Good question.
Because if Lynch is there, I'm probably taking Marshawn Lynch. If not, then you just got screwed at running back and you're going to have to wait. And you go for a whole bunch of the pass catchers later with Duke Johnson types, Giovanni Bernard, Tariq Cohen.
We got him.
Those kind of guys later. You got Lynch?
Marshawn Lynch, yeah. And then we'll get I think I had to do that. I had to do somebody safer there, right?
I agree. If you didn't, you're going to have some problems with running back there. You got Lynch, you got Elliott. So I think you're it's a solid start as far as running. It's certainly not going to kill you there. I think Lynch has got some upside. He looks good in camp, and he had a good second half last year. It took him a bit to get going, but once he did, he played well.
Okay, we got our caller, Steve from Long Island. He's in with a Kenyon Drake question. Steve, ask it to George. I'm going to draft while you ask.
Hey, yeah, no problem. Your draft's kind of scaring me. I was going to keep Devontae Freeman and lose my third-round pick, but because of value, I want to keep Kenyon Drake and lose my 18th-round pick. I'm going to also keep David Johnson, lose my 4th, Mike Thomas, and lose my 7th. Here's my question. I pick 6. I'm assuming Barkley's going to be off the board there, and I'll go best wideout available. It's a no flex league. But in the second round, should I invest in another running back for depth or continue filling out my starter role?
All right, so you're going to have Kenyon Drake, which I agree with you on, by the way. I would have done the same thing. I'd have kept Drake. I'm not a big Drake fan, but in the 18th round, I'm keeping Drake. That's pretty easy for me. David Johnson and Michael Thomas. You know, you got two running backs. You got a wide receiver to start. I'm probably going beep. I generally go BPA anyway, best player available. I don't see any reason to differentiate from that. It'd be different if you kept 3 running backs. Then you'd almost have to go with a wide receiver. But you got 2-1 here. I'm probably not going running back. That's probably the only thing I wouldn't do is go running back. I would go wide receiver, if that's the best available here. But other than that, I think you're in fine shape here. I'm going BPA.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. That's what I'm hoping. It depends on what the guy does in front of me at 5. Obviously, I have Johnson. If he takes Barkley, I'm going to go best wideout. If he doesn't take Barkley, should I just invest in Barkley then and then have Drake on the bench?
Absolutely. You're not passing up Barkley. Yeah, you're not passing up Barkley. That's a stud that falls to you. You're praying that happens. I hope it does happen for you. But I have a hard – you never know what someone else is thinking. But I have a hard time, especially being in New York, that Barkley gets passed up.
Yeah, no, I doubt it. That's why I'm more or less thinking I'm going to get Julio or Hopkins as the best wideout. But then on the turn back in the second round, I'm looking at either, like I tweeted you before, Hill, Diggs, they all have question marks, or do I just invest in like a Mixon as a bench running back?
Assuming you do get your Hopkins or your Julio Jones, and I'll take Hopkins over Julio Jones fairly easily there. Nothing on Julio Jones, but he doesn't catch touchdowns. Hopkins is a do-everything man for Houston. I believe, he's named what, Hill, Evans, was Cooper part of this as well?
Exactly. It's Hill, it's Evans, it's Cooper, but they all have question marks. So I don't know if I should go with another running back and then out my starting, or is Mike Blewett having a problem now getting a running back later in the draft, just get a mix in and have at least three safe running backs to start the year.
Wide receiver is definitely deeper. You know, even if you can't get, you won't get these guys again, but you could find a wide receiver that you won't hate in, you know, rounds deeper. You will, when it comes to running backs, at the round three, you hate everybody. You know, they all have problems. They either all in a timeshare, or they're not the touchdown guy, or they're a pass catcher. So I don't blame you for going safe with Mixon. I do like Mixon. I know Mike and I just discussed him. I'm not worried about Mixon. The offensive line scares me a little bit. I do worry about how much throwing they can do or how much running they can do in the second half, because I think they'll be trailing here. But I have nothing against Mixon. So if you wanted to play it safe and go Johnson, Drake, Mixon, I have no issues with that. You'll already have Thomas and probably Hopkins, and you'll be able to load up with receivers that you don't mind the next couple of rounds here. So in your situation, with your start, you already have two first-round picks, really, in Johnson and Thomas. And actually, three if you get Hopkins. You can play it safe and go mix it. Actually, I might go that direction as well.
Okay, and then the last question. Do I just do something off the grid and pick a Fournette instead of Hopkins and then come back in the second and third round and just find two wide receivers?
I mean, I do have Hopkins ranked higher than Fournette. Nothing against Fournette. Another first-round player here who's fantastic. The whole offense is built around him because they're not going to want Bortles, no matter what they say. They don't want Bortles throwing the ball all over the field here. But I'm not going to be able to pass up Hopkins here. I'm going to take Hopkins over Fournette.
Okay.
But it's another situation where, really, Steve, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, I just don't want to be in Blewett's situation where I'm in the fifth round, you know, scrounging for running backs when I had the opportunity then, where, like you said, the wide receiver position is so deep, I could find a wide receiver in the fifth round like a Mike Williams.
It's true. And, you know, you could find wide receivers into the seventh round where you'll be able to find guys who will be useful. Running backs are going to dry up after round three.
Good stuff,
all right.
Steve.
All
thanks,
right.
Man. Appreciate it. Look at that. You had like your own personal drafter there in George Kurtz, just like I've had. So thank you for listening all the time. Unfortunately, you're not going to hear George and I on Saturdays anymore. He'll be with Dan Stratford, but you'll hear me during the week, Monday through Friday, and on Sundays on game days. So thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. We're wrapping it up
here.
No
problem. I'll be listening all the time. Thanks very much, man. Guys. I
appreciate it. So,
bye-bye.
George, my most recent pick was Marvin Jones. I took him over Brandon Cooks and Josh Gordon. Risk for both of those guys. I really thought about Cooks hard there. I even thought about Deion Lewis. But I think Marvin Jones could have some significant upside, especially as a wide receiver three. I mean, I already have A.J. Green and Adam Thielen, so I'm good to go there. Well, buddy, it was great doing this with you again. Good luck, Dan Stratford, during the season. I know we'll talk to each other again soon.
All right, Mike, you be good. Good luck with the draft.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great Saturday. Good luck with your drafts, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.